All right, we're speaking with Benton basketball coach Ron Weinmiller. Coach, thanks for taking some time to speak with us.
Hey, happy to do it, Matt.
You know, Coach, it's been an odd offseason. I know a lot of the kids play travel ball in basketball, and, you know, that wasn't affected by all the IHSA restrictions and waiting around to see what can we do, what can't we do. But that stop and start that a lot of sports felt, you know, you guys did feel it there once they released it at the end of June, I think it was. People were starting to, some programs I saw were like, all right, we can finally get in the gym and go ahead and do some practices. And then about 2 or 3 days later, things got pulled back in early July. How did that affect you guys?
Well, we actually had 2 days of open gym. Then they came out with the new restriction with the mask and all the things that you really couldn't do anymore with the contact and things like that. And we just kind of made a decision that we were not going to move forward with a program with those kind of restrictions. So we kind of shut it down after 2 days and talked to our guys. And when we told them that this is what the season could look like. You know, we could be getting ready to go to Murfreesboro on a Friday night and all of a sudden things get shut down on Thursday. So to be prepared that this was probably what the school year was going to look like. And as much as we don't like it, it's probably what we're going to deal with during the season.
Yeah, I think I remember that Thursday, I think it was, everybody was excited and everything. And then I saw just a tweet come from Ben's athletic Twitter account just saying, we're shutting things down. And I just remember thinking, this doesn't look good. I feel like everybody's going to follow suit. And then about 2-3 hours later, more programs were doing it. But you guys were actually out in front of everybody else, just shutting all the athletic programs down.
Yeah, we just felt that as an athletic program that, you know, we didn't have all the answers. There were a lot more questions than we had answers. Once the new guidance came out, we were in the middle of it. We were already late, you know, there in the first part of July. So we just didn't feel like we could kind of regroup and get much meaningful done in the summer. So we just kind of made a decision as a group that, hey, we're going to kind of be done and then just kind of regroup and see where we're at in the fall.
Well, I know that we're all hoping and expecting basketball to tip off late this year. November 30th, December 1st is a lot of the opening days that I've seen for teams. It looks like your season going to open at DuQuoin on December 1st is listed on your website, at least. I imagine you and everybody else sitting on pins and needles, though, sort of holding your breath and hoping that tentative schedule that's been released gets to actually happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that you've got to be looking forward to is your conference season, you know, those 10 conference games that you have, because with no tournaments and who knows what the postseason is going to look like or if it's going to happen. So it's one of those things that you got to put a lot of eggs in your 10 conference games and just really be prepared for those. And those non-conference games, kind of enjoy them. And like I said, you don't know what the postseason is going to look like, but I think a lot of teams that we're playing in our non-conference schedule are people that we could see in a regional-type format. So, you know, we've really kind of started talking to our guys about how important the conference games are. And, you know, you always want to win your conference, but really you got some other stuff to play for. And this year it's kind of the conference or nothing.
Earlier this week, sports like basketball, volleyball, football, finally able to start getting some contact days. I just say granted 20 extra to most sports up until October 31st. Have you been able to get in those for your program specifically? And what's the big focus for you in those contact days? Because you're kind of in an odd spot where you can do more than football and you're, you know, not far away from your season. But then, you're closer to your season than maybe like volleyball, who's able to do just as much as you, but they have more time to prepare.
Yeah, we actually kind of elected to do it a little bit different here. We kind of looked at it almost like as a summer schedule, where with the June and July now being September and October, where usually in the summer, basketball will take the month of June, and then football and volleyball will take the month of July. We kind of did it backwards. Football and volleyball are going full bore here right now. And then in October, we'll transition to basketball as it leads right into our season. So we're not doing much with our guys yet. I'm hoping by the time we get to the first part of October, as we get closer to the season starting, we'll even see some more of those restrictions fall away. So we're not doing much yet. But once we get into October, we're going to go about 15, 16 days and really hammer away and almost make it like a preseason type practice.
What's going to be the biggest focus for those type of practices? Is it going to be conditioning? Is it going to be learning the system for some kids? What's going to be the big thing for you?
Well, I think almost treating it like a summer in the fact that I've always said what I like about summer basketball is trying to not tell so much about winning and losing. It's more about coming out of the summer with your rotation and you know who you can count on and who maybe is sliding down the depth chart a little bit. So I'm hoping that in those practices, in those contact days, we're able to kind of establish our top eight or nine guys, and then they can battle it out once we get into the season. Because, I mean, you only have 2 weeks of practice, and then you start playing. So you don't have a lot of practice time before you tip it up against somebody else.
You know, I've heard you talked about the restrictions and hoping to see them slide back some here when you actually get to go ahead and do your contact days. But the concerns that I've heard from people about what currently is in place, I know you can't really speak to all of them, but the one that I know that you definitely could is the mask indoors. Masks are built to be breathable, you know, just doing normal activities. But when you do it with an anaerobic activity like basketball, it creates a more difficult situation that I'm not sure some people that maybe aren't playing basketball day to day really understand how that could be affecting things.
I'm worried about wearing it coaching a practice. I mean, you know, so I know it's bad for the kids. Yeah, that's one that I mean, just being honest, I don't know how once we get into November the 30th, if that restriction's still in place, how we're going to be able to play basketball. I mean, how you're going to ask kids to go out there and compete at a high level with a mask on. So I'm hoping that restriction is eased up a little bit as we get a little closer to the season. But, yeah, it's tough. And we haven't done it yet because we haven't started doing our contact days yet. But I'm anxious to see how the kids adapt to it. Because, the kids want to have a season just like I do, just like the fans do. So they're going to adapt to it. If that's what they have to do to have a season, then they're going to adapt and they're going to do that.
You know, another concern I've heard people talking about is how are you going to get kids that are competing in the fall sports right now, like cross country, like Reese Johnson is doing right now, who I imagine you want to be a central pillar for your team. How can you get them into those important contact days when there's going to probably be some conflicts? I mean, how are you working with Reese and Coach Brent McLean to make sure that he can participate in both?
Well, we've kind of, every school's a little different, but we've kind of taken the stance here that if they're in a sport, in a season, which Reese is, they're kind of hands off until their season's over. You know, it's not fair for me to ask Reese to come in and, you know, I'd hate for him to turn an ankle and not be able to run in the regional cross country meet and cost them a chance at maybe a regional championship or a conference championship. So we'll kind of be hands off with Reese. I mean, I know Coach McLean's running him enough that he's going to come in great shape. So I'm not worried about his conditioning. But Reese is one of those kids. He just lives down the road from me. And when I walk by his house, I see him. He's got a ball out. He's doing stuff on his own. So that's what we're going to encourage our guys to do, continue to get a ball in their hands, shooting, ball handling, those kind of things. The conditioning part for those guys will already be there. It's the guys who aren't in season I'm a little more concerned about their conditioning.
Now this is going to be a special condition, but on the opposite side, football and basketball looking like they're going to crash into each other a little bit that preseason for football, and then basketball hopefully going to be getting their postseason in mid-February. Special condition, like I said, but Keegan Glover is the starting quarterback for the team and also was not a huge part about the bench last year, but I assume he's going to have a bigger role this year. Have you been able to talk to the football coaches and say, okay, well, if this happens, X, Y, Z?
Yeah, we really haven't gotten into those kind of specifics yet, and Keegan will be a huge part of what we're doing, and you know, and we got a lot of football guys who will be a huge part of what we're doing. So, I think it's interesting to see the football guys now having to have the shoe on the other foot a little bit, where they're usually the first one out of the gate, and they're chomping at the bit in July to get going in August. So, yeah, Coach Groves and I, you know, I've worked with three football coaches here at Benton, Coach Claude Felder, Coach Pankey, and now Coach Groves. we've all three had an unbelievable relationship as far as sharing kids and making sure that we don't put kids in the middle of things. And I know that Coach Groves will be chomping at the bit to go in February. But if we're happen to still be playing in the postseason, man, we'll be sure to work around that. And the main thing is not putting kids in conflict where they're having to make choices that adults can make for them.
You know, speaking of Reese and Keegan, you know, I look at your roster. What I see is the Ohio Division preseason favorites. You know, that's coming from the guy that calls the Murfreesboro games. You graduated just three guys from last year. Granted, you know, Carson Lewis was kind of the star, and then you had glue guys and Blake Stewart and Brad Hammond. But the rest of the team is back, obviously Keegan and Reese. But then also you got Baumgart, you got Seddell, Bayless, McClintock. They all had their moments last year. And Keegan's a straight-up athlete. When you look at that roster, just how confident are you in this group?
Well, I'd feel a lot more confident if we had a summer just like everybody else, you know. But we're in the same boat that everybody else is in. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you throwing that bullseye on our back, though. You know, but I do think we got an exciting team coming back. The one thing I'm super excited about these guys is we have a lot of depth. I think our competition in practice will be really, really good because I think we got about numbers 4 through 8. Those guys are going to be fighting for a lot of minutes, and they're going to have to win them in practice. And I think it will make our practices so much more competitive than they've been the last couple years because we just of the overall depth that we have. You know, Landon Bolin has transferred back and he's going to school here now. So he will also add to that depth. So we feel like that's one of the keys to our team is, and it's old depth too. You know, it's a lot of juniors and seniors that have been through a lot of these river to river battles and guys, you know what you can kind of count on from them.
You know, that sectional loss to Nashville was brutal. I think we saw each other actually the afternoon of that game as you were about to head out. And I don't think either of us, as we were talking, saw what was going to happen that night happening. And, you know, that's a tough loss to take. It's something that stings and really keeps on stinging for a really long time for these kids. But that's also the beauty of it, that it stays there and is a reminder and really helps them all motivate them to get to that next level, Coach.
Yeah, you know, and every sport is funny, but, you know, the Friday before the postseason started, we beat Murfreesboro at our place, which you were at. And I think if you would have told Daryl after the game, hey, you're going to win the sectional, he might have laughed at you, you know, because I don't think at that point they were really playing it at that high level. And they got hot for 2 weeks and beat Pinckneyville, and the rest was history. So I think it's, number one, you have to stay healthy. I think, and certain things you can do about that, but sometimes that's a lot of luck. Number two, you have to have guys buy into their role. And the third and most important thing is you got to have guys that are all in it for the right reason. And when you can do those three things, you can have a really special team and a really special team that can have a fun year. And I think that's what we have this year. Now, if we just get guys to do those things I'm talking about, I think that we can be okay. But I think our conference has more parity than it's had in a long time. You know, in the past 4 or 5 years, there's been one pretty much team that everyone thought was going to win it, and then there has been a team or two at the bottom that everybody thought they were going to beat. This year, I think 1 through 6, everybody's got their pluses, and on any given night when you go to here or there, if you're not ready to play, you can get beat, and that can be the game that decides the conference championship.
Well, before I move on to the next point, I do want to tell you that in one of my pregame interviews, I can't remember if it was the sectional finals or the super sectional, I did ask Daryl, I said, are you surprised at your team getting this far? And he did say, oh, yeah, definitely. It was more so it's just because of the path that he had to take to get there. But, yeah, no, he would have been very surprised and probably laughed at me if I told him after that game at Benton. So I can confirm that for you.
Yeah, and I think that's what this season will be different. You know, it's a 2-month sprint. You know, we talk to all our guys. We say this every year. You know, basketball is a marathon, not a sprint. Well, this year that's different. I mean, you've only got 2 months, and you're playing 2 games a week, and it's going to be over before you really know it started. So you can't be if you struggle. you don't really have that time to play yourself out of a slump like you do in a regular full-length season.
Now, Coach, I know you mentioned it here at the beginning of the interview about the tournaments in the season, but I still got to ask, you know, the tournaments aren't necessarily totally out of the question. There's just so many limitations that everybody's kind of saying, oh, we're going to put a pause on that this year because I think it's only like a 3-team limit and you got to do so many things. But are you and Athletic Director Ryan Miller looking at trying to make the Bend Invitational happen sometime this year?
You know what? We just talked about that last week, and he said, I haven't officially canceled the BIT. And, you know, one of the things that is a restriction for us is Vandalia would not even be allowed to come with this current restrictions. So, and I say that because they're not, for people that don't know, because they're not in our COVID region. You're not allowed to play teams out of your COVID region unless they're a conference team. So Vandalia would not even be allowed to come. We're playing most of the other teams in a non-conference game, but I don't see any way that the BIT will happen this year. I don't want to be the one that officially cancels it, but I think that everybody's kind of scheduled around it and has kind of come to the same conclusion.
Absolutely. I just wanted to make sure with that, make sure with you, Coach, that was kind of where we were headed there on that. But
yeah.
Final topic before I let you go, Coach. There's been a lot of talk about a shot clock potentially being added to the high school level. I just say heard a presentation on it at their last board meeting. Sounds like they're at least going to look at the potential of adding it and using it in games. Are you in favor of the shot clock being used in IHSA games, and why or why not?
Well, you know, it's funny. This has been a topic that's come up numerous times throughout my coaching career. And now it looks like we're as close to ever as having it. It'll have to be something that the National Federation institutes. I don't think the IHSA is going to kind of go behind them and institute it. So I was a little bit surprised. I knew it was coming up for vote in June. And I think had we not been in the middle of a pandemic, it may have passed this past year. So I'll be shocked if it doesn't pass next year. But not to dodge your question, but I'm okay with it, and I'm okay without it. You know, I don't know that – I think a lot of people think that if we institute a shot clock, games are going to automatically go to 85 to 80. I think you look at a lot of games, and it's not really going to change the outcome of the possessions. Most teams are shooting in 30, 35, 40 seconds anyway. I think what you're going to see it change is you're going to have to talk about the end-of-game situation, where instead of just spreading the floor and getting the ball to your best free throw shooter and making free throws and winning the game, now you're going to have some things in that you can run the shot clock down but still be able to get into a set and still get the shot that you want because teams are not going to have to foul like they would have. So I think it'll change a little bit of the strategy of end of game, end of quarter stuff, but I think overall you're not going to see a huge change in the game. The one thing I worry about a little bit is training somebody, and I'm not just talking about here, I'm talking about statewide, to run it and operate it correctly. I mean, you watch those NBA games and they'll spend 5 minutes making sure they get the shot clock right. We're not going to have that luxury with TV replay and those kind of things. So I just don't want to see it have the outcome on a big game where somebody messed up when they were running it. So that's my really only drawback on it. As far as the play, I don't think you're going to see a huge change.
Coach Ron Weinmiller, Coach, thanks so much for your time today. I know we're all clinging to hope that we'll have a season, and us radio guys especially are definitely hoping that if there is a season, we can be squeezed in to make sure your games are broadcast to the public, because if there's anything that's going to bring a smile to the region right now, it's going to be some high school basketball.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people, when they start hearing about limitation of fans, how many people want to volunteer to help to make sure they get in to see stuff. But yeah, December the 4th, we hope to be in Murfreesboro playing our first conference game.
All right. Well, we'll be hoping to see you. I hope to see you then. And thanks so much, Coach.
Anytime. Thanks, Matt.